So, moving right on to the next part, the late morning session. So, our first speaker is Jeremy Kickler from the University of Georgia.
Thank you, Seth. Good morning. Glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth is still an issue for growers in certain pockets of Georgia, but overall, I think we're turning the corner in Georgia when it comes to managing glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. We surveyed growers, consultants, and other folks that were involved with the industry, and we asked 1,022 growers this question: do you believe you are heading in the right direction in regards to managing glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth? And 96% of those growers replied, yes, they are. So we are heading in the right direction in Georgia. But we're still relying pretty heavily on herbicides to manage this pest. Presently, our herbicide programs contain 2.5 times more herbicides compared to 2004 when we first confirmed glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in Macon County. So we're relying a lot on our herbicide programs. But there are three questions we got to ask ourselves, especially in Georgia. How long will our Liberty-based programs last? How long will Reflex and Valor last? We have a lot of PPO. We use a lot of herbicides with the PPO mode of action in our agronomic weed control programs. There are concerns about PPO resistance in the Carolinas and the Mid-South, so that's always in the back of our minds. And as an extension agent in Moultrie, where we have a large concentration of vegetable production, trying to see where 2,4-D or dicamba fits in our weed control programs in areas of diverse ag landscape is also in the back of our minds. So the overall objective is to develop a more sustainable approach of reducing selection pressure on herbicides. And one of those possibilities is by using cover crops such as rye or clover. Growers are asking more and more questions about how to use clover, so hopefully we'll address some of them questions today. But with conservation tillage, the level of biomass is so important. For example, in past research, when we generated 7,000 pounds of biomass, we suppressed Palmer amaranth pretty effectively from emerging. So biomass is very important in these conservation tillage programs. Various on-farm studies were conducted in Georgia. For example, in Berrien County in 2012, we compared a rye cover crop production system where we terminated it, rolled it, and planted into it, and compared it to a weedy cover. This location was very dry. We had some drought conditions going on, which is very common in Georgia. But we produced a lot of biomass, you know, 7,000 pounds of dry biomass here at this location. And when we evaluated Palmer amaranth emergence, we had a 70% reduction in Palmer amaranth emergence in the rye cover crop compared to the weedy cover. When we harvested and collected our yield data, the rye cover crop gave us a 30% increase in seed cotton yield compared to the weedy cover. But when we talk to growers about conservation tillage systems, a lot of times, you know, we're trying to make ends meet, increase profitability. And one way growers do that is by increasing acres. Sometimes time is a constraint. And they would probably be more applicable to grab a jug of herbicide off the back of the truck and try to manage our weeds through increasing our herbicide use, making conservation tillage more of a afterthought. So with the University of Georgia Extension, when we conduct research on cover crops, we have three overall objectives. First one is to reduce herbicide inputs, increase yields, and that's my major objective today, is to increase yields with the field experiments I'm going to show you here shortly. And also, too, more efficient water usage. And this issue tends to come to the forefront, especially when we have times of dry weather that we've had this past fall in Georgia. So the methods, we had three large field studies replicated four times. We kept these field experiments weed-free using a liberty-based program. We planted ExtendFlex technology, Delta Pine 1553 at one location, and the two other locations we planted 1538. We planted our rye and clover with a grain drill that we utilized a skip row or a modified type of row pattern. The red arrows show a 10-foot skip or a modified row where in the upper left-hand corner you can see where the red arrows, that 10-inch skip right there. And you lose it during the cover crop production year when the rye goes through the stem elongation process, but you can quickly find it again when you terminate your cover crop and come in with a roller. But that 10-inch skip or modified row gives us a good opportunity to get good seed-to-soil contact in our conservation tillage programs. And also, too, we put out an extra 25 units of nitrogen there to produce, you know, just some additional biomass. This is a sister study showing an example of crimson clover. So this first experiment we conducted at the Sunbelt Ag Expo in Moultrie. We planted our cotton on May 9th. We had a clover treatment, a rye treatment, and a conventional tillage treatment. When we terminated our cover crop, we did it 1 week before planting, and the clover was about a week before bloom. That was the stage of development of the clover. When we planted into the clover, it was still extremely green, and that's going to play an important part a little bit later, I believe. And then we also had a conventional tillage type system where we disc ripped and bedded. At emergence, we took some measurements. We went through the plots, and the plots were extremely large. They were 18 feet by 450 feet, and when we did that, we looked for skips greater than 1 foot. And this is the skips greater than a foot as influenced by production practice. And at emergence, no skips were noted among the conventional clover or rye production system. But when we came back a month later, we quickly realized that we were having some stand issues in the clover, 88 skips greater than a foot in the clover a month after planting. And that was probably caused by planting into the green clover at planting. When we took seed cotton yields, the seed cotton yield is influenced by production practice at Expo 2016. The conventional cotton yielded 1,862 pounds, and the rye was significantly increased in yield with over 2,400 pounds of seed cotton. This is a picture right at the day of harvest, rye on the left-hand side. But another thing we noticed with the clover was there was quite a few bowls that weren't open, and we can probably contribute that to the extra nitrogen that was produced by the clover during the year, or maybe the skippy stand impacted maturity. Second field experiment was done at Sunbelt Expo again. Again, we planted on May 9th. This time we looked at a few more treatments. We had clover by itself, rye by itself, and then we had three blends, rye-clover blends that we put in this field experiment. Again, we terminated our cover crop 1 week before planting. This is an example of the rye and one of the rye-clover blends. And we had quite a bit of cover crop, quite a bit of residue that we were planting into. At planting, we took dried biomass measurements in pounds per acre. The plots were, in this field experiment, were 18 by 450 feet. The rye produced over 7,700 pounds of biomass, and the biomass increased when we planted the clover and also the blends. Some of the blends produced anywhere from almost 11,000 to over 12,000 pounds of biomass. 1 month after planting, we evaluated this field experiment for skips, and this is skips greater than a foot, as influenced by production practice. We had quite a few skips in the rye, 58 over the whole plot, but the skips increased significantly in the clover and also in the blended treatments. Seed cotton yield is influenced by production practice in the second experiment at Expo, and there were no significant differences among the cover crop treatments. Third experiment was done in Tie-Tie, Tift County. We planted a little bit later, June 1st. We had a clover, rye, and a conventional cover crop treatment. This time we terminated our cover crops 2.5 weeks ahead of planting. And the clover was pretty much dried down. So when we evaluated stand, there was no stand loss at emergence or 1 month after planting. 1 week after defoliation, we took some bulb counts. On the left-hand side is the rolled rye treatment. The right-hand side is the clover. The rye, when we took bulb counts, 1 week after defoliation, there were 5.5 bulbs per foot. But when we evaluated the clover, the number of bulls increased, and we were getting bull counts, 30, 32 bulls per foot. So there was a little bit of delay in maturity. When we came in and harvested, the rye and the clover, the rye is in the yellow column, the clover is in the red. The first harvest, the rye harvested over 3,500 pounds of seed cotton. But the clover had a significant decrease in yield. So we came back about 2 weeks later and scrapped it. And when we added both yields together with the two harvest dates, there was no significant differences in yield. So in conclusion, the clover did reduce stand when we sprayed 1 week, when we terminated our cover crop 1 week before planting. The clover delayed cotton maturity, likely from the end, the additional end that was produced during the year. We did fertilize the cotton plots, I think with University of Georgia soil test recommendations for 150 pound cotton. So next year we're probably going to look at changing some of our end rates. The cover rye blends generated heavy levels of residue when compared to rye alone. The stability of the rye program is far greater than the clover, and the high levels of biomass increase yield over conventional till. This was a very dry year. We went through some extreme heat in August and September in Georgia, so that might have impacted yields just a little bit. But anyway, any questions? Yes, ma'am. We came back, so the question was, when did we fertilize our rye? Basically, we came in January, and we put out our 30 units. From experience, some winters are extremely cold, and it depends on the weather pattern. So if it's extremely cold, wet, sometimes that may impact biomass production. But we may put out a little bit of planting, and then maybe put out a little bit more in January, February, depending on what the weather is. Yes, sir.
When you turn, you may have said this and I missed it. When you terminated your rye,
yes, sir.
What stage was that rye at? Had it handed out yet? Or
yes, sir. The question was, what was the growth stage of the rye at cover crop termination? And that was at heading. Yes, Mr. No, sir, none that I know. No. So Mr. Jack asked if the biomass, you know, impacted residual herbicide. We had a lot of biomass, so So I think that helped us tremendously with weed control. But the residual herbicide helped us a lot, you know, in the strip, in that modified skip. So that residual got over that 10-inch band. So that's where that residual herbicide, you know, helped us out.
Okay, thank you.